Well, it will be a challenge to take you at the end of the day. You are exhausted. At the same time, it's a good time for me because I have until tomorrow morning to have my presentation. So, we are supposed to be in the heart of Seventh-day Adventist theology, creation. And you may question that title and that topic. And perhaps I would like to start with a challenge. Try to find in anything which constitutes your identity as a Seventh-day Adventist person, which has nothing to do with creation. I believe that everything which makes our identity, Seventh-day Adventist people, is essentially related to creation, is indebted to creation. And this is what I would like to show to you. This is the goal of my presentation this evening. And then I will do it through a play, playing on the name which makes our identity, and that is Seventh-day Adventist theology, Seventh-day Adventist. And I'm going to take those two ingredients of what makes our identity, Seventh-day and Adventist, and try to show to you that in both of these two ingredients, we have a direct, essential, important connection with creation. Let's start with Seventh-day. Of course, yes, there is a reference to creation. I mean the Seventh-day, not, of course, any other day. Seventh-day happens to be saying yes to this creation, this world, this time, this flesh, this matter. And by doing that, we are, by the way, a Seventh-day Adventist people and Seventh-day Adventist movement, putting us outside of the traditional Christianity, which had the tendency to despise the world, despise creation, saying that creation is bad, it's evil. The contemptus mundi, which characterized Christianity throughout the centuries, saying that we need then to deliver us from this creation, which is bad, evil, flesh, the body, matter. And therefore, this is one of the reasons, for instance, why the Sunday has been taken, because the Sunday is supposed to celebrate the deliverance from this matter, the deliverance from this body, while the Saturday, the Sabbath, is supposed to say yes to creation. So in that sense, we are really different than traditional Christianity, and in a way coming closer to the history of Jewish people. So that would be the first reason, the first point, showing the importance of the seventh day, of the yes to the value of this creation, to this world, to this life, to this matter, to this flesh, to this time. And this, of course, this affirmation, this yes to creation, has affected anything which may constitute our theology. It affects, of course, first of all, our lifestyle. We affirm creation the way we live, the way we eat, the way we drink. So we affirm creation when we are talking about health. Health is not just for us a way of becoming better and enjoying life, which is, of course, an element of answer, but health is also religious duty. We are, it's like a commandment, it's a part of our religion to be healthy. And the reason for that is because, first of all, it reminds the ideal of the creation story in Genesis 1, where we were all healthy. The shade, the death has not touched us as yet, and also because it affirms the value of life over death. And also another part of our lifestyle, the choice of vegetarianism, for instance, where there is no death implied. Not only it reminds the ideal of creation in Genesis 1 when there was no death and everyone was eating without killing. It reminds this, Genesis 1, but also because not eating the dead flesh affirms the value of life over death. It affirms the sacredness of life. And by the way, there is also a connection with creation on another level, on a perhaps lower level. There is another connection with creation between the choice of clean meat and unclean meat. We have my friend here, Dr. Moscala, has written a whole dissertation about it. I recommend it for your reading, where he shows clearly that there is a connection between creation and the choice of this particular clean meat. Also, of course, the fact that we are not supposed to eat blood because there is life in blood, because we affirm the sacredness of life. So our lifestyle, the way we eat, we drink, also is a part of affirmation of creation. Nature of man, our anthropology is an affirmation of this creation, of this body, because our body is also spiritual. We don't have the spiritual separated from the body. So this is why we affirm this creation. We affirm this flesh, because this flesh is all what we have. It has something spiritual in it. And when there is no more flesh, you know what's happening. We'll talk about that later. So in the Bible, there is nothing, when you study the Bible about this, there is nothing about afterlife. Because afterlife, it is afterlife. There is no more life. So just take other element, the tithe, which we think it's just, some people may think it's kind of a remnant from the Levitical thinking. The tithe is also an affirmation of creation, because it tells us that we take the possession, the wealth, the material, the matter seriously. It's a part of our religion too. It's not something which is outside our religion. We don't have that kind of spiritual idea. So our material possessions here on earth is a part of our religion. And when we give our tithe, it's a way of expressing our faith in the God of creation, who created in 10 words. Just play with that. And then we have, of course, our ethics, the importance of the commandments to guide us in this life, the importance of laws of righteousness in every turn of life, from eating, drinking, sexual life, social life. Our rituals, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, is also affirmation of creation. The baptism reminds creation, the water, the word, the spirit. It reminds the remembering. It reminds, of course, the miracle of creation. And the Lord's Supper is also an affirmation of creation. When we eat and we drink, we are saying something about the value of this body, the value of the matter, the value of food and drink. And we also affirm God in flesh, the God who came down and was a part of this world. It's also an affirmation of this creation, and saying that God is with us, that he is Emmanuel. He's not just the God in heaven. He was right here on earth. Our relation with the world is also an affirmation of creation. Our humanitarian concern, when we are promoting ADRA, when we are promoting Dorcas, is an affirmation of creation, is a way of saying that we are responsible for this world, we are responsible for this creation which has been given to us. And the same affirmation we are making when we are promoting religious liberty, and we are trying to connect with the authorities, when we are trying to connect also with the political life, we are saying yes to this creation. We are saying yes to this world. We are connected to the world. We are not separated from the world. Our concern about ecology, about the environment, should be also an affirmation of creation. We are responsible for this creation, because this creation is a gift of God. And we value this creation. It's not something we despise. We don't belong to those who say contemptus mundi. We're saying, yes, God, you are our creator, and we enjoy and we receive this creation. Our worship is also an affirmation of creation, because why are we worshiping? Because he is the creator. We affirm that in Revelation 14. Creation is related to worshiping, and this is why we should worship with everything which is given to us by God, from the mind to the body to our emotions. So we have a number, points which are expressing our identity, which are related to the seventh day, which is an affirmation of this creation, of this world, which is ours. Now we have another aspect of our identity, which is Adventists, which is taking us on the other side, which is actually affirming something completely different. Here we focus on the second coming of Christ, not on the first coming of Christ. Here we focus on eschatology, on the future, on our hope. Our vision of our heavenly apocalyptic kingdom is also indebted to creation. We believe in resurrection. We believe in this miracle of God who is turning in dust, nothing, into a human being who we are. This implies our faith in creation, but this is in the future. The belief also of new heavens and new earth, which is registered in Isaiah 65 in Revelation 21, affirming the belief that there will be new earth and new heaven. That implies creation, and this is the language of creation which is taken by these two texts I was just referring to. And of course, we have our theology of salvation, which is almost unique among the believers, among the Christians, and which makes us sometimes suspect from Christians. They are thinking that we are not so Christians because, after all, we are believing in the Day of Atonement. We are believing in this strange theology of the Day of Atonement at the end of time and the judgment. And we are saying, what kind of Christian is that? And what we are affirming here, actually, talking about the cleansing of the sanctuary, we are also, among other truths, we are affirming the necessity of the cleansing of the world. In order to be saved, the world should be saved. We cannot be saved apart from the world. Salvation is cosmic, or there is no salvation. That's what we are affirming when we believe in that kind of creation. So our Adventist theology of creation, or let's say our thinking of creation in connection to the Adventists, is also an affirmation of this particular truth, which makes us so different and therefore sometimes so suspect, which makes at the same time necessary creation. If there is not a new world, there is no salvation. That's what we believe. Our rituals, the baptism, hope in a new creation. This is what baptism is saying. New creation in this life, but also beyond this existence, a new creation. We believe in the future beyond this existence of a new creation. That's also the meaning of when we baptize. We also believe, we express this faith of a creation in the future. In the Lord's Supper, we also affirm our eschatological hope. As you know, this is a language which has been registered in 1 Corinthians 11 when the apostle is talking about the Lord's Supper, until he comes. So that's what we are affirming. We are affirming also through the Lord's Supper, we are affirming the new creation until he comes, until there is something new, until there is new world, new earth and new heaven. And so, as we are realizing here, is that we have a tension, right? And maybe we should, there is something else I want to affirm here. The tension, yes, in the creation story. This tension I'm talking about, which characterized Seventh-day Adventists, you know, this affirmation of on one hand, this world, and on the other hand, the belief in another world. This particular tension is already registered at the very beginning of the scriptures. When you enter the first pages of the Bible, the first two chapters are telling us something about this particular tension I'm suggesting. Genesis 1 talks about God, creation, the universe, where everything is supernatural, when everything is transcendent, God is far. We begin with that, and then the second creation story, suddenly we have a God, and this time God has changed his name. He's not longer the God of gods, the God of the universe, Elohim. He is the God of man. He is Yahweh, the God who is with, the God who is connected, the God who is close, the God who is near. And suddenly the perspective is different, and you can see as we enter the scriptures, we have a tension here between the far and the near, between the supernatural and the natural, between this world and the other world. And what is interesting is that even when you read the first creation story, Genesis 1, you have that particular tension I'm talking about. In Genesis 1, the text of Genesis 1, creation story, is written in the style of a genealogy. That is a legal document, a dry report. It's a historical document. That's the style, that's the genre, literary genre, which is the style of the text, and you can see that when you study the style of the text. And actually at the end of the text, it says this is the genealogy of the... And it connects at the same time with other genealogies which will be following. That is the genealogy of Adam, the genealogy of Abraham, the genealogy of Isaac, the genealogy of Jacob, and our genealogy, which means that our history is... the history of the creation story is of the same historical quality as our own history, human history. There is nothing like another kind of history for the creation story and this kind of history when it comes to the history of humankind. It's the same quality of history. On the other hand, this, although this history is historical, it is in the flesh, it is our history, the same nature, there is also something supernatural about it. There is also something which escapes our thinking, our understanding. And the text renders that through the poetry. You have a rhythm. You have a rhythm of seven. The text, the creation is made in 7 days. And you have several words, key words, which are repeated seven times. And you have the first verse, which is made of seven words. And you have the second verse, which is made of 14 verbs, words. And you have several key expressions which are repeated seven times, and so you are suddenly in another air, in another context, supernatural, sacred context, which you cannot control, where human cannot do anything. So it's as if you have this tension within. It is both historical, at the same time it is in God's hand, it is his work, it is something which is supernatural. What I found interesting is that there is an interesting expression, which is Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Boker. And there was an evening and there was a morning. Interesting expression, which is repeated so regularly. Six times. Not seven times. You have noticed that. Interesting. When we are not in human history, and that would then suggest something, and that would perhaps appeal for some kind of speculation. We are not in human history. We are just in a cosmic, spiritual, we are in a spiritual context. There, each time, as a regular refrain, and there was an evening, and there was a morning. And there was an evening, and there was a morning. To make sure that we understand that although humans are not there, it is still of the same historical quality. Now, when we come to the seventh day, Sabbath, it's interesting. We don't have... Why? Because we humans are there. And what is interesting, while we are really there, humans, it's a historical moment. We begin history. Adam and Eve are there in flesh. We don't need... we don't need that kind of indication, historical connection, right? So that shows, in other words, what I'm saying basically here is that when we are outside of human history, right, when we may be tempted that there is another quality of time, then we are inside of the quality or inside of human history, the importance of spirituality. The importance of thinking of another time. This is our Sabbath. This is why the Sabbath, which is the historical time par excellence, is also the time of eternity. Time which has the quality of eternity. So you can see how this tension functions here, and then we can realize here about who we are and our, and what is our mission and our calling. And I'm going to conclude on this matter here and ask the question, just as I asked the question in the beginning, saying, is there something which is not related to creation in our Seventh-day Adventist beliefs? And you have understood that there is not one, and I have given you a number of examples. What makes us who we are is essentially related to creation. And so that's the first question I have asked and I've tried to answer. Now I have another question to conclude. Why is that so? Why is it that our identity, a Seventh-day Adventist church movement, is related to creation. Why are we so related to creation? Why do we have a whole week? A whole time reflecting on creation. Why do we emphasize the importance of creation? Why is it so related, so important for us? It's very simple. We are coming at the time of the end. We are a movement of the end. And because we are a movement of the end, we are interested in what comes after the end. We are interested in recreation. And you know, we are not new. It's not very original. It's our destiny. It's our fate. We are coming at the end. And therefore, we are concerned with creation. This is something which is already attested in the scriptures. You have books like the book of Jeremiah, a prophet who is concerned with the end, who's reached the end of the history of Israel. So much concerned with creation. The only book which uses the technical word for creation, Bereshit, in the beginning, which you have in Genesis 1, is used four or five times in the book of Jeremiah. He's very concerned with creation because he's reached the end. The same with the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is the book of the end. If you have about 40 times the word end in the Bible, 20 times you have the word end in the book of Daniel, 12 chapters. And the book of Daniel, each chapter, you have a reference to creation, allusions to creation. Except in chapter 11. It's very concerned with creation because reached the end. So this is the reason why we are so concerned with creation, because we are reaching the time of the end. So we are interested in creation because when you die, you hope in recreation, right? There is a second reason, and I'm going to conclude really with that. Because I believe, and you will realize, that this message on creation is today, more than any other day, more than any other moment, if you just look around people and yourself, the most relevant and the most needed message. Amen. When we are talking about seventh day, and we are affirming the value of this creation, our responsibility of this decomposing world. This is what is happening. I mean, these days, more than any other day, when we see the world being decomposed, we are responsible for it. When we see our ethics, our morals being decomposed, we are responsible for it. When we see health being decomposed, we are responsible for it. We are responsible for this earth. That's the testimony. That's the message which we are conveying through the seventh day. This world is our world. And we need, of course, we need to learn also, by the way, enjoy the world. When we are healthy, we are affirming also creation. Importance of health, importance of ecology, importance of the affirmation of humanitarian work, ADRA, and so forth. Also, of course, more than any other time today, and that comes in tension and in complement to what I just said, the world needs to know the nature of hope, that he cannot, and whatever we can, whatever we want to do and we have to do and we should do, we will not change the world. And there is only one way to change the world, as we have understood as Seventh-day Adventist people, is another world created by the Creator himself. This is the message of Seventh-day Adventist theology.